This is David Kaplan on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Cap and Company podcast, presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Cap and Company, sports talk while you're on the clock.
So Horace Grant just goes scorched earth on Michael Jordan. It goes everywhere. And you got to hear it right here on ESPN 1000. We're going to talk about it, take your calls. I spoke with someone who was at Scotty's inner circle in the late 90s and said, one-year deal? Are you crazy? But we'll get into it. Welcome in, Cap and Company, ready to rock and roll in the First Midwest Bank studio on ESPN 1000. With Christopher Black, Eric Ostrowski. Danny, enjoy your few days off, kid. I'm David Kaplan. 312-332-3776 is our phone number, our Twitch channel, ESPN 1000 Chicago. ESPN 1000 Chicago. So, and we're going to, by the way, talk to Kathy Martin Harrison at 10:35. And you're thinking, who is that? She's that Pacers fan, that lady. That's right. All over social media on Sunday. Who is that lady swearing at the Bulls? I talked to her on TV yesterday. She's a really sweet lady, and she has some great stories about interacting with players like Rodman. So we'll talk to her at 10:35. And our guy, Tricky Nick, Nick Friedel, who wrote the story yesterday on the Horace Grant blow-up with Michael from ESPN, he will join us at 11. So yesterday, we came in and we're like, hey, Horace said he'll do this. He's going to come on at 10 o'clock. And I knew he was upset, did not know he'd go to the level that he did, but he did. So if you missed it yesterday, Horace Grant joined us at 10 o'clock. He calls Michael Jordan a snitch, a liar, and says Michael is a hypocrite for calling him a snitch because Michael's the one that outed his first teammates as a rookie with the Bulls. He outed them for cocaine, weed, and women in a hotel room in Peoria, and that makes him the snitch. He also denied being the leak for the Jordan rules. And so now it's gone everywhere. The last dance, Chris, I think you'd agree with this. The last dance is the gift that keeps on giving, whether it's the lady Pacer fan who swears at the players, it's Horace coming on with us. It's like every day something new pops up.
Well, it's a fascinating story, right? And the things that go into it, whether or not it be Jordan telling the truth, which we've now have multiple accounts saying that Jordan kind of skewed this documentary in his favor, which I think we all kind of knew was taking place to begin with, into the Jordan rules back from the early 90s, into the way this dynasty broke up. It's fascinating, and it's intriguing, and that's why people want to continue talking about it.
It is. It's crazy how he's got, like, guys he was even close to pushing back at him. Like, when I talked to Bill Cartwright the other day, and he pushed back and said I wouldn't go to his birthday party if he had a 65th birthday party. You going? Nope. Can't get there. Ron Harper, I'm only going to go to drink his booze, eat his food, and smoke his cigars. And Horace saying I wouldn't even open the damn envelope. I mean, it's like there's a lot of guys pushing back against Michael Jordan and this last dance, which was wildly entertaining. But as Horace said yesterday, 90% of it was BS. Craig Hodges the other day said he edited out everything where people went back at him. He said he only left in the stuff that made him look like he was this dominant teammate pushing everybody. Here is Horace Grant yesterday. First of all, Horace came on and I said, in general, what do you think of The Last Dance?
I would say, you know, entertaining, but, you know, we know who was there as teammates that about 90% of it was I don't know if I can say it on air, but BS.
Right.
in terms of the realness of it. You know, as I stated the other day, that it wasn't real because a lot of things that he said to some of his teammates, that his teammates went back at him, but all of that was kind of edited out of the documentary, if you want to call it a documentary.
There you go. If you want to call it a documentary, and we'll get into that as well. I then said to Horace, okay, did Michael, there's a story that Sam Smith told on air, did Michael take your food from you on the plane?
Oh, Cap, come on. I mean, anybody knows me as a rookie that if anybody, comes up and try to snatch my food away, I'm going to do my best to beat their ass. And believe me, back then I could have took MJ in a heartbeat. Yes, it's true that he told the flight attendant, well, don't give him anything because he played like crap. And I went right back at him. I said some choice words that I won't repeat on here, but I said some choice words and stood up. If you want it, you come and get it. And of course, you know, he didn't move. He was just barking. But that was the story. But anybody knows me, where I come from and what I stand for. Come on, man. There's nobody in this earth will ever come and try to take food off my plate and not get their rear end beaten.
He also said to me on a Zoom call, he said, listen to me. If he tried to take my food, there would be no Air Jordan. There would be no six championships because I would have beat his ass. He knows better than to try that. And Horace is a big man. I then asked him, I said, Horace, were you the source for the Jordan rules in Sam Smith's seminal book that Casey Johnson, I thought, characterized it perfectly?
That is a downright, outright, completely lie. Lie, lie, lie. And as I stated, if MJ had a grudge with me, let's settle it like, man, let's talk about it, or we can settle it another way. But yet and still, he goes out and put this lie out that I was the source behind. Sam and I have always been great friends. We're still great friends. But the sanctity of that locker room, I would never put anything personal out there. The mere fact that Sam Smith was an investigative reporter, that he had to have two sources to write a book, I guess. Why would MJ just point me out? Okay?
Right.
It's only a grudge, man. I'm telling you, it was only a grudge. And I think he proved that during this so-called documentary when if you say something about him, he's going to cut you off. He's going to try to destroy your character. Charles Barkley, they've been friends for over 20, 30 years, and he said something about Michael's management with the Charlotte Bobcats or the Charlotte Hornets. And then they haven't spoken since then. And my point is that he said I was a snitch, but yet and still after 30 or 35 years, he brings up his rookie year going into one of his teammates' room, his former teammates' room, and saying coke and weed and women. My point is, why in the hell did he want to bring that up? What's that got to do with anything? I mean, if you want to call somebody a snitch, that's a damn snitch right there.
Wow. That's a damn snitch right there. That really got a ton of national and worldwide attention. I mean, it's in one of our fine listeners, Peter, from he's Greek. He gets the Greek newspaper. It's in there. Somebody from China sent us the thing. It's in there. It's all over the place because when you take a shot at the king, Michael, the GOAT, it's going to get people fired up to hear it. Here's Horace Grant on whether Scottie Pippen would have come back in 1999, and it will be perfect to segue right into what someone who would know told me yesterday.
Listen, there is no way that Pip would have stayed there another year, not because he didn't love the Bulls, but because of the contract. I think if MJ had deferred some of that money, maybe Pip would have stayed there. But, you know, Pip had the back injury, the foot injury, things of that nature. He wanted to secure his the financial future. And I'm pretty sure, I'm 99.99999% that Pip would have gone other places.
So somebody I spoke to yesterday who would know said, look, Scottie was not in a good place financially. He just wasn't. He had some financial things going on in his life, and he was going to get paid, period. And anyone that thinks it was a $1 million difference because he could have got 15 from Houston and 14 from the Bulls or whatever the math Bobby Marks had on, the bottom line is he was getting $67.2 million guaranteed dollars, knowing he's going to have another back surgery, knowing that his best days are behind him. He still had some solid years. They were never going to give him $67 million. So I ask you this question, Eric, Chris. If I said to you, hey, man, we got a good thing going right here. Give you a one-year deal. I'll pay you $14 million. You've never made huge money in your life. And someone else down the hall says, hold on a second, Chris, you're a free agent. I'll give you $67 million guaranteed dollars. What are you doing?
Well, I mean, come on, Cap. You take the more money, but that's not what, like, that's the only thing that had to play into this. That's not it.
Well, of course that's it.
No, it's not. Scottie Jerry Cross for 2 years said he was breaking the team up.
But Scottie wanted that's to it. Get paid.
Yeah, of course
never,
he did.
They were never going to pay him that.
Okay. You're telling me that Jordan couldn't win with any other players? No shot, no chance?
Well, if they were going to keep Michael, they were going to be over the salary cap. Who are they signing here?
Okay. But my point is that, yes, to agree with your stance, yes, you take more money.
100%.
But the full picture of this scenario is the fact that the GM broke up the team before we even got to 98, before we even got to the end of 98. Thus, yesterday, you're putting it on Phil Jackson. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Phil was the final one at the very end that said, no thanks, it's enough dealing with this guy. I get that. After the championship rally, we heard it in the doc, Reinsdorf goes to him. Phil's the one that they couldn't convince. Okay, fine. That makes your point. But for 2 years, Jerry Krause, behind the scenes, has been telling everyone, this is over, we're done with this. He was sick of it. Okay, you get the blame, sir, and your boss, the owner, gets the blame too, because that was the greatest team to ever exist, and you guys didn't want that anymore. So then, yes, okay, I get it. Pippen takes more money. I get that. Totally get that. They also, as an organization, were telling these guys, it's over. You're done. No more.
Yeah.
So your hypothetical works in that world because we know the outcome. But if they, as an organization, treated it as we're going... Each year is a new year, and we want to win as many of these as possible. Do you think the decisions that would have been made would have been the same? I don't think so. I think it would have been different. And I get it. Some of the players were past their prime. But you could also find some other players to replenish.
With what cap room? You had cap room.
Charles Barkley signed like a $1 million deal for 1 year in 1999.
And it's not a hard cap, and it wasn't then in the NBA either. And the Bulls were printing money.
Barkley still had legs. You're telling me Barkley couldn't give you better production than Dennis Rodman at 37?
Maybe. But what I'm saying to you is the cap was you couldn't go over it to get someone else. You could go over it to keep your own guys. So
okay, so you could have paid Pippen then.
But why would you? He's going to have his second back surgery.
Well, I don't know. He's only a six-time champ. Michael Jordan's preferred running mate. And to see if you could continue winning. I don't know. Why would you want to keep that?
I would not have given $67 million to Scottie Pippen.
Right. The alternative was much better.
I'm not saying the alternative was. That team was done.
That's not the argument.
That is the argument.
No, it's not.
If I'm the owner and I look and go, that team's finished, why am I giving Scottie $67 million?
So you're telling me that if Chuck Barkley said, I'll sign 1 year, $1 million, and that he's the third, you're telling me a slightly less...
second?
Scottie,
I'm
saying...
not giving him $67 million.
My point is that is still a better team. You could improve the roster in other fashions. 2 years beforehand, you didn't have to say you were ending it. That's the point.
But the point is, you were never going to have Scottie. Yeah, maybe you could have. That's a great question for Waddle and Sylvie to ask Charles when they have him on all the time. Would you have taken $1 million to come there?
Well, didn't he take $1 million to play for the Rockets that year? He signed for 1 year and $1 million, right?
I believe that's
the team
what
that Scottie went to.
Correct. But my question is, Charles, did you ever talk to the Bulls about coming there and keeping that thing together with Michael? I'd love to hear.
Yeah, that is a good question to ask him. Yeah,
zero chance they were ever keeping Scottie, and I agreed with it. He played a couple more really good years. Not amazing, really good. There's no way I was giving him $67 million. I just wasn't. No chance. 312-332-3776. Take a fast time out. Your calls next.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Don't forget, 10:35, Kathy Martin Harrison, that Pacer fan.
Yep.
I talked to her on TV yesterday. She was awesome. Phenomenal. So much fun to talk to. She'll join us at 10:35. What it was like to scream profanity at Michael and Rodman and the rest of the Bulls and getting into it with Patrick Ewing. Yeah, it was awesome, awesome to watch. So we'll have her on at 10:35. Nick Friedel at 11. 312-332-3776. Let's grab Eddie first. Hey, Eddie, what's up, man?
Hey, Cap, how you doing?
I'm good, kid. How are you?
Horace talking about snitches. You got a college guy that walks in a room and people are doing drugs and alcohol and doing whatever they're doing, and he turns away and becomes the best basketball player of all time. That is a plus that he did that for any college student coming out of college. And if it wasn't for snitches like Jose Canseco, you'd still have baseball players juicing up left to right and running rampant with that stuff all around the place. Because I don't see how he comes out and even talks about that part of the documentary about him snitching on stuff. That's a young man that went in and made a decision that's positive. And I hope all the young guys that walk in and they see stuff like that when they go through college and turn around and go through what they want to be in life.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
Yeah, well, here's the one thing I'd say to you, Eddie.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It was a wonderful thing that Michael walked in, went, yeah, I'm out. But why 35 years later are you throwing those guys under the bus when many of them have families, kids, grandkids, and all of a sudden they go, well, Grandpa, Dad, you were on that team. Were you doing drugs and cheating on Mom? Like, that stuff didn't need to be in the documentary. It didn't.
Yeah. All right, I hear your point, but it was a good decision by him. But,
No question. That's obvious.
Yeah.
Eddie, thanks, man.
All right,
man.
Cap, have a great day. You guys stay safe.
You too, buddy. Right. Stay safe and healthy.
Cap, I don't feel like him telling the story of walking into the hotel room is really telling on people, because if you read anything about basketball in the mid-'80s, it was littered with cocaine.
Yeah, but when you say nearly every one of my teammates was in there, and if my wife and I had been together and I was a teammate – in 1985, and I come home, and she's like, hold on a second.
Well, she never read any book, like basketball book or book about basketball or anything from the 80s or any articles, because that was just known. That's what that league was.
But a random, the league does that. Yeah, that's not me, honey. All of a sudden, Michael Jordan says, I walked in the room, and my teammates were all in there. That's just, I could just tell you, there are multiple guys who played with him in the 90s that are furious at him for doing that.
And tell on me for something I did 30 years ago. Whatever. Like, that's my... That was so long ago. Like,
correct.
And they, it was the culture of the league. So, like, people who say they didn't know, one, that's ignorant. Like, that's just being ignorant and not knowing. And two, it's 30 years ago. Like, we all
matter.
Made mistakes when we were that
age. If you walked in the house today and your wife found out, hey, man, all the guys that were working over at the radio station were doing that. Hold on a second. We were married then. Were you with other women? No, honey. Well, Michael said everyone was in there. Like, that stuff didn't need to be brought up, is my point. It did not. It did not. It did not serve any purpose to the documentary, so-called documentary, as Horace liked to put it. Here's Stacey King, who was on Golic and Wingo and was asked about Horace Grant.
Hey, one more thing about that Horace Grant situation, because I know we were going to talk about that for a split second. You know, Horace Grant was always looked at as the guy who gave the leak. And, you know, we confronted Horace about that when that book came out. And every player confronted him about it. And Horace has always been a stand-up guy. That's one thing about Horace Grant. If you don't know Horace Grant, he's a guy that, you know, he's loyal. He'll stand up. He'll fight for you. If I got to go down the alley, I'm taking Horace Grant. So when Horace Grant told us after being confronted by the team, was he the leak of the team, he basically told us no. Looked us in the eye and said he wasn't the leak. And if you know Horace, you know Horace doesn't lie. So to this day, everybody on the team, you might have your suspicions, you know, conspiracies or whatever, but his teammates know who Horace Grant is. Horace Grant told us he didn't have anything to do with it. He's a brother, he's family, and we believe him. So as long as we believe him, I think that's all that matters.
There you go. That's Stacey King on Golic and Wingo. Stacey was also asked about how Jerry Krause was portrayed.
Well, I think my biggest disappointment is the way Jerry Krause was portrayed. I was really hurt by that, and I think a lot of the teammates were, because you know Jerry, if Jerry's name wasn't Krause and you had, you know, Jerry West in there, or you had Pat Riley, they would have been considered the greatest executives of all time, and maybe in all sports. To be able to put two different championship teams within a year and a half, 2 year span, that was amazing in itself. And had he not been Jerry Krause, and it would have been Jerry West or anyone else other than Jerry Krause, they would have been considered the greatest GM.
There you go. That's Stacey King on Golic and Wingo, as he talked about a couple of the issues that have surfaced in the wake of The Last Dance. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Just a lot of interesting stuff has come out since the documentary started 5 weeks ago, and then since it ended on Sunday. A lot of Michael's former teammates are taking shots that are more than a little upset, that either that they weren't included, how they were portrayed. You haven't heard a word from Scottie Pippen. Like, that's the white whale to get now on the air. Scottie Pippen, love to give him a forum, because what I was told yesterday, he is so angry at Michael and how he was portrayed, called selfish, called this, called that, that he's furious that he participated and did not realize what he was getting himself into. Very upset.
Wait, hold on. What would he not be... What wouldn't he know he was getting himself into? He was there for the questioning. What, he didn't think after they asked him questions about 1.8 that they weren't going to put that in the doc? What does he not know that what was going to be in there?
He felt that up until like the last few minutes of game six against the Jazz, it was just bash Scotty, bash Scotty, bash Scotty. He's like, as one of his friends said to me yesterday, he's one of the top 21 players, according to ESPN, in the history of the sport. He said, and prior to the last 7 minutes of the documentary on Sunday night in episode 10, all it was the migraines, the surgery, Michael calling him selfish, his contract. He said every single thing you showed about him basically was negative. And he is beyond livid.
I don't know. I watched the doc too, and I know in 91, the story that's told is that Scotty started guarding Magic Johnson, mm-hmm. changed the series. Mm-hmm. That did happen for some possessions in a couple of those games, but Michael guarded Magic for the majority of it. So the folklore of Scotty shutting down Magic. Mm-hmm. Yes, he was there, and absolutely, he and Michael were fantastic defensively. But it's not like he then was only guarding Magic Johnson the rest of that series, and that's why the Bulls won that series. So I feel like he was sold that, like, in 91, he was a part of the reason to why that series flipped. The 93 into the 94 stuff, I mean, come on. I don't know. It's what happened. Is the documentary not supposed to show you what took place?
All I'm telling you is that multiple teammates of his, multiple, have all felt Scotty got a raw deal in the documentary, and they're furious. I'm just telling you.
Listen, they can think he should have gotten more shine, perhaps, but it was a Michael Jordan doc. And I think that's why last week when I was telling you it's surprising there wasn't a whole lot of his family within the doc, and you were telling me that that stuff shouldn't have been in there. Well, it's a Michael Jordan doc. Isn't that what we were? That's like if you were making it that, like, I get that they left it out because Michael had final say on this stuff. And I know it went back and forth whether or not he had final say, this, that, and the other. But he's an executive producer, okay? So it's going to show him in the best light possible in many of these situations. Even the ones that were touchy, we're still showing it in the best light possible.
Yeah,
right?
No question. All right, we've got a lot of calls. People want to talk. And SVP talked about what went on this show yesterday. We'll get into all that. Your call straight ahead, 312-332-3776. This is Cap and Company, ESPN 1000.
This is Cap and Company.
Missed something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I don't have to do this. I'm only doing it because it is who I am. That's how I played the game. That was my mentality. If you don't want to play that way, don't play that way. Break.
One of the more dramatic moments of that 10-part, 5-week documentary that we watched called The Last Dance. 312-332-3776 is our phone number.
So you think it's all propaganda now?
I didn't say that.
Well, I mean, it seems like now we're taking a torch to the dock. We're just bashing Michael now.
I'm not. His teammates are.
No, I know. I just think it's like, why didn't Horace say this stuff when he sat down for the interviews? Where was that?
I don't think Horace knew they were going to say. In fact, I know for a fact Horace had no idea that Michael was going to call him out as the snitch.
What? They asked him. That was in the doc. He was asked.
But he didn't know how it was. From what I was told, he had no idea it was going to be portrayed in the way that it was portrayed. I'm just telling you, Chris. Most of the guys that played with Michael in the 90s are livid how it came off.
It's okay. I mean, Danny made the great point yesterday that Bill Cartwright was on the air a couple weeks back, and he had no issue with what he was seeing. Now, yesterday, he was on the Zoom meeting with you, 2 days ago, and laughing and cracking jokes that he wanted nothing to do with MJ. So, I mean, like,
maybe they wanted to see all 5 weeks and see how it played out. Bill was on after week one with us.
Would everyone have been happy if it was a 37-hour documentary and each individual player on the team got their own doc? Like their own episode, like Robin got in episode 3 or 4, whatever it was? Is that what we're looking for here? Screen time?
I don't know. They just feel like...
Because Horace can't say he wasn't asked. Jason Hare asked him directly the questions about Sam Smith's book, The Jordan Rules.
As Ron Harper said... This was not a documentary. This was Come Fly With Me Part 2. That's what Ron Harper said. And that's one of his guys.
I can't necessarily disagree with it 100% because I was kind of suggesting that a couple weeks back when we were debating this on the air.
You were. 312-332-3776. Before I go to these calls, I just want to play this from SVP last night. As he was talking about the... blow up Horace had on this show against Michael.
Whatever you took away from the Last Dance documentary, it would be difficult to argue that the drama that surrounded that team was on a level all its own. Wasn't guys mad about tweets from guys on other team or Instagram beef? Like the old line in the horror movie, the call is coming from inside the house. Was Horace the leak? He went on ESPN 1000 in Chicago and took great issue with the idea that he was a snitch.
As I stated to everybody, that is a downright, outright, completely lie. Lie, lie, lie. And as I stated, if MJ had a grudge with me, let's settle it like, man, let's talk about it, or we can settle it another way. It's only a grudge, man. I'm telling you, it was only a grudge. And I think he proved that during this so-called documentary, when if you don't say something, if you say something about him, he's going to cut you off. He's going to try to destroy your character. My point is that he said I was a snitch, but yet and still after 30 or 35 years, he brings up his rookie year going into former teammates' room and seeing coke and weed and women. My point is, why in the hell did he want to bring that up? What's that got to do with anything? I mean, if you want to call somebody a snitch, that's a damn snitch right there.
He didn't give up the specifics on, what was it, the cocaine circus? He didn't give that up necessarily. I get Horace's point. You knew that there would be some residual hurt feelings given this, and given the fact that Jordan is involved from a production standpoint, people are going to say that it was seen through that lens. But feelings were going to get hurt. Clearly, winning has a price.
Yes, it does. Let's go to the phones. 312-332-3776. Start with Clint in St. Charles. Hey, Clint, what's up, man?
Morning. How's it going, guys?
How you doing there, Sparkles? Everything good?
Good. Yeah, I'm okay with him bringing up that stuff from the 80s. As long as he wants to actually talk about the things that he did in his life, if you look at the amount of womanizing that went on with him and how his ex-wife hired a private detective to follow him around, he shouldn't be throwing stones at people like that unless he's going to talk about himself. I get it, it's a one-sided story, but come on, you got to be fair.
Yeah, again, and appreciate your call, man. Have a great day. Stay safe and healthy. Many players, I'm not talking about from that team in 85, I'm talking about other players, are furious that he did that. They said, come on, man, to throw those guys under the bus the way you did. And he said nearly the entire team was in there. So, again, all I'm doing is telling you what players are telling me. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Corey in Evergreen Park. Hey, Corey, what's up, man?
Cappuccino, what's going on, brother?
How are you doing there, kid?
Good. Listen, Cap, real quick, man. I'm born and raised in Chicago, 50 years old. And I just want to say this. We wouldn't know who 85 to 90% of the guys on the Bulls were if it was not for Michael Jordan. Craig Hodges, Stacey King, Horace Grant need to be thanking Michael Jordan. Absolutely. Stacey King has a prominent role with the Chicago Bulls now. No one would even know who Stacey King is. Definitely not Craig Hodges. So these guys got to get thicker skin. Pippen, show off your 6 rings. You're still making money off of having 6 championship rings with the Bulls, and none of this would happen without Michael Jordan. Get thicker skin, guys. You're too soft, too sensitive, and that's what I got to say.
Thanks, man. Have a good day.
Take care.
See you. Mark is in Barrington. Hey, Mark, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. We're always so quick to point to the negative. And, you know, Jerry Krause was vilified, and Scottie Pippen is mad because of the way he was portrayed. Scottie was also told by Jordan during the documentary that he was the best running mate he could have and one of the best players in the league. And he got an entire episode dedicated to him and his family and what he went through. But people are focusing on 1.8. And for these guys to come back and say they didn't know, like you guys were talking about, like Black was talking about, they didn't know these things were coming. Horace Grant was asked the question. Scottie Pippen were asked the question. Bill Cartwright, these guys were asked these questions. You have to tell both sides of the story, and some is negative and some is positive. That's just the way stories go.
I don't disagree with you. All I'm telling you is that this, and again, it was wildly entertaining. I wish there were 10 more episodes, but this was not a here's what happened on the 98. It was whatever Michael wanted people to see. Like Ron Harper said to me the other day, of course they didn't show you when I went right back at him when he said something derogatory to to me when they had to separate us. He said, because I didn't take his BS. He said, of course they're not going to show that because it didn't fit Michael's narrative. I'm just simply reporting to you what guys that played with him, guys that were his guys, have said since the documentary completed on Sunday. That's all I'm telling you, man. I appreciate your call. 312-332-3776. Lewis is in Hyde Park. Lewis, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up? How are you doing, guy?
How you doing there, kid?
I just want to say right quick, because I know you got a lot of people who want to talk about the documentary. And I just want to say, I totally honest with you, I'm just disgusted. You know, I remember when he gave his Hall of Fame speech, I was really disgusted then compared to how other players gave their Hall of Fame speech and how they thanked other people. But you saw how he even said negative things about Dean Smith and all these other people. I didn't think it can get any worse than that. But after watching this documentary and not being able to highlight people like Tony Kukoc, who was really big in that game, 7 against Indiana Pacers, and they didn't showcase that, to have certain interviews omitted, like Horace Grant said that a lot of stuff that he talked about regarding him and Michael Jordan and having to confront Michael Jordan and stuff like that wasn't allowed. That was, you know, pushed out of the documentary. And just a lot of other things. I mean, it was promoted that this was going to be the last dance about the Chicago Bulls, what they went through. And it was a Michael Minery. You know, it was just about him. And I can't believe even Adam Silver signed off on this. I mean, you heard Stacey King. You heard all these people just, they're totally against it. So I believe where there's smoke, there's fire. And for this guy to be the greatest of all time, to have all of these accolades, to win championships, that you couldn't have showcased what really happened, that you really had to make it totally about you, I think that speaks a lot. And as a human being, you got to look at that and really question that. So that's my say on it, Dave.
Lewis, thanks, man. Thanks for always listening. We appreciate you.
Take care. Have a good one.
See you, kid. All right, we got to take a timeout. Phone lines are hopping. Danny and Herb and Darian and Manny and Chris and Stan the Foreman. We'll get to all of you. We're going to roll through these calls. 312-332-3776. This is ESPN 1000.
This is Cap and Company. Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hey, Chris, this hour brought to you by CBDMD. Discover the secret to everyday wellness. Eric knows it. CBDMD. Superior CBD, superior you. You're 20% off when you enter the code WADDLE.
Hey, Cap.
Yo.
Oh, just responding to you saying, hey, Chris.
There you go. 312-332-3776. Phone number to our show. And don't forget Carmen Yerk at noon, Waddle and Sylvie at 2 o'clock. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Stan the Foreman. He's a working man out there in Johnsburg. Hey, Stan, what's up, man?
It's Sam.
Oh, Sam the Foreman. How you doing, man?
Doing good.
What's on your mind?
So I loved the documentary. I thought the whole thing about Jordan calling out what he saw that rookie year, that had to be in there. That was great. It totally spelled out what so we can picture what he was going through, and he knew he had to separate himself from that element in order to be the great basketball player that he wanted to be. And it just gives us an idea of what kind of commitment he had and the drive that he had. So I have no problem with him bringing that up. I don't think he meant to be detrimental to any of those guys. It had to be said. He was green. He walked into this thing, and he's like, whoa, I don't want to end up, you know, being part of a raid. So I totally respected that, and it tells me why he's so great, why he became so great.
Yeah, and again, he could have very easily said, look, the culture in the 80s was drugs. He did not have to go ahead and name Like the whole team was in there.
He didn't name anybody.
The thing is he didn't name anyone.
He didn't name anybody.
Hold on a second.
And he was asked the question about the cocaine call, circus. He was asked. It wasn't like he came out of nowhere and said this. He was literally asked about why was your team called the cocaine circus.
That he controlled everything that went into every episode.
But he answered a question.
They didn't have to put it in.
I mean, wasn't that the story of that team? Why were they so dysfunctional?
They could have generalized and said, look, the culture in the NBA in the 80s, there was a lot of drugs.
What it was.
No. When you say, I went in that room and nearly every one of my teammates was in there with coke, weed, and women. That's just not, I'm just telling you, man, there are a lot of players that are furious about that. And this is a guy who ran the streets.
Yeah, but what did any of those players do? Like, I get Horace's complaint.
What do you mean? Because what did they do?
What they do? This was before they even started winning. So what did they do?
They're
upset. They didn't accomplish anything. Win something, then you could have a whole 10-part doc about it.
Guys that played on the 6 championship teams are mad that he did this.
I understand that. That is separate. That's why I just said Horace being upset about the Jordan rules in 91, 92 and the book coming out from Sam Smith. I get that. I understand that.
Yeah.
But you keep bringing up the cocaine circus. That had nothing to do with those teams. Those guys didn't win anything. What did those guys win?
Doesn't matter what they won.
What was the line in the documentary that the Chicago Sting were outdrawing the Bulls?
It doesn't matter.
It kind of does because these guys are so bent over something that doesn't matter. You're right. It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does matter. If you have to walk in your goddamn house and your wife says, hey, guess what? I was married to you then. And now you've opened up a can of worms 35 years later. It was complete bullcrap. That's what it was.
Did we just disagree, agree, and then disagree all within the same, like, 3 sentences? I think you and I both agreed, and then we disagreed, and then now we're both on the same page. Maybe. Does it matter or not matter? What are we doing?
I thought it was a weak thing that he did.
Okay.
I mean, if you, me, and Danny, because we're here every day, went on a trip to spring training, and something happened, and 30 years later, I came out on TV and said, oh, yeah, let me tell you what happened when we were at ESPN 1000, and Autumn says to you, hold on a second. He said that happened when?
Is it a good story?
It's not flattering to you.
But is it a good story?
Doesn't matter.
Does it make the bit?
No, does not.
Because I think it made the bit for the doc.
Yeah, it was bad. 312-332-3776. Let's see, where are we going to? How about our guy, Danny in Schaumburg? Hey, Danny, what's up, man?
Capadonis, how are we today?
I'm good, kid. Having fun. How are you?
Good. So you did a very good interview last week with Sam Smith. Do you recall that?
Yes, sir.
You straight up asked him towards the end of the interview, was Horse the source? And if you recall, Grandpa Smith said something like, I'm not going to answer that, David. You know that. That right there is telling you something without telling it, because if he wasn't, he would have came out and said it. The other thing is all these little players whining and coming on your show. What does Barkley say?
Hey, man, they're a bunch of Tito Jacksons with Michael, man.
That's all they are. They're little bridesmaids and never the bride. Like, give me a break. No one cares what they have to say.
Okay. I think people do care what they have to say because they got like a million clicks on the story last night in ESPN. So
I think Horse is a liar because Horse lied to Danny about his ex-wife having the number. That, I mean,
please
what is
stop.
That?
Listen,
that's just bizarre.
No,
okay?
I don't think it is. Horace does not know who Danny is. Look,
he's your producer. He's the best in the city. What do you mean he doesn't know what he is? Then he better get educated.
No question, Danny's the greatest. But guess what? When Horace gets 4 billion texts, he's like, I don't know who that guy is. Just tell him it's not my number. He's just trying. That has no bearing whatsoever. Disagree with you, Danny, 100%.
Can we go back and hear the Sam Smith answer? Can the great Chris Black pull that?
I can ask him if he can.
Hey. Bunch of Tito's, man. They were terrible, man.
Thanks, Danny. See you later.
To fill everyone in, can you just tell briefly the Horace Grant story for those who missed it? Because to be honest, Cap, when I heard the story, when I pieced that to what Horace was saying on the air, mm-hmm. I started to think, okay, this guy's a bit of a... he's moving the goalposts here. He's kind of not telling us the full deal.
I don't. But
tell the story.
So Danny has been texting Horace unbeknownst to me. I just knew he was trying to get him. I didn't know he had a number. He texted Horace and got a text back that said, this is his ex-wife, it's not his number, but I'll give him your message. And then Horace and I text a lot, and we text at that very number. So Danny's like, so wait a minute. He gets back to you, but he lies to me. Yeah, whatever.
What do you mean, whatever? It's still lying. We're talking about someone lying. Usually liars lie. That's usually how it works.
I've been dealing with athletes
no matter the size of the lie.
30 years. If they don't know you, they will tell you whatever it is. I don't put the two on the same plane.
But Danny's not just texting him, yo, what up? He's texting him, I'm Danny Zerman, David Kaplan's producer, trying to get you on our radio show. It's not like this is a random, like, come on. It's strange.
Yeah. And Danny is the best. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone, see if we can squeeze another one in before we get a break. How about Fernando on the south side? Fernando!
Yo, what's up, guys? What's up? Hey, Cat, you know, I love you, man. I love ESPN, but you are the ultimate bandwagoner. You know, just because you got ties to Horace Grant, just because you got ties to Cartwright, you're all of a sudden, for 5 weeks, you've been hyping up this, the last chance. You know, even Monday, you were so hyped up. Now Tuesday, now today.
Whoa, man. Fernando, you're better than that. What did I say like 3 minutes ago? I wish there were 50 more episodes. I loved watching it.
Yeah, but come on, Cap. Like, you're secretly hating on Jordy. You know you are. Just because of Horace. Come on, Cap.
Fernando, you're better than that. You're smarter than that. Come on. You're better than that, Fernando.
Cap, I love you.
I love you, but you woke up this morning. You're better than that. I love Michael Jordan. I loved watching the documentary. But I'm also, my job is to point out both sides of the discussion. And when I had four players on with me the other day on a Zoom call, and Horace Grant comes on this show and says what he says, I'm going to point out both sides. I'm not going to get on my knees and bow down at the altar of Michael Jordan. Just not going to do it.
Okay, one more thing, right? Okay, all these guys are coming out to hate on him. Jordan's put out 3 shoes in the last month, and all of them sold out. Like, do people really care what Horace Grant, Harper, Cartwright, them guys got to say? No, they don't.
They read
Jordan
it, though.
Jordan is the GOAT, and it is what it is.
I love you guys. He's always going to be the GOAT, Fernando. Always. Have a
great
day, kid. See ya. All right, got a break. Back in 2 minutes.